It's your boy Monster Man Rocko, a.k.a. Rock from Helter Skelter. Sean lives on, boot camp click in the buildings. You are now rocking with the best hip-hop digest.
They claim we're products from the bottom of hell. Cause the black is back and it's bound to sell. Picture us cooling out on the 4th of July. And if you heard we were celebrating, that's a worldwide lie.
Welcome to the Hip-Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G. Bzz, bzz. Should we just set off some fireworks? Our man is celebrating 4th of July. It is definitely not a worldwide lie.
Hey, now, I didn't say that. So, Swerve, when you hear it, I didn't say that.
Damn, no, but we appreciate our brother, though.
Where's Flavor Flav when you need him? So, all right, that's what's up. So, welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. It is a two-man crew, as it has been. Everybody's doing whatever they do. Anyway, update on my personal situation. I'm still not reinstated or otherwise fired, as far as I know. But it doesn't matter. I'm out here hustling.
You're out here doing you.
Yeah, I'm out here hustling. You know what I'm saying? Doing what I got to do. So, all is well on that front. I was able to pay my mortgage, so I'm happy.
Hey, nigga. Still got a roof over your head, my nigga.
I'm saying.
Shit.
I'm saying. So, all right. So, you know, it's Kurt G. So, two-man show. Let's get right into it. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest.
Oh, shit. What is it?
Lupe Fiasco is making news, but I don't understand why he's making news. I'll read the copy. Lupe Fiasco claims there are hundreds of rappers better than Kendrick Lamar.
Wow.
And then he's saying, Lupe Fiasco argues that Nas doesn't rank highly amongst hip-hop's best lyricists. Now, I respect, this was discussed in the text chain, and I respect Lupe. A lot of people think highly of Lupe.
Oh, Lupe's nice. I'm not going to front on him.
Okay, yeah, a lot of people think highly of Lupe. And in the text chain, we were talking about Royce and how, like, Lupe destroyed Royce and aired him out.
Yeah.
Now, I knew Royce had some health issues with his voice that he couldn't really clap back like he wanted to. I believe that. I think Royce would have broke him down a little bit.
Okay.
I believe that because I think Royce is that good. I think Royce is that nice. But this, to me, is more about who Lupe is than actual quantitative facts. He's a very smart individual. There's no doubt about that. The intelligence is there. But a part of this seems like the playbook out of Jimmy and Max B.
Wow.
Let me get the name that's going to provoke the most reaction. Because that's all Jimmy did with Nas. Yeah, I'm more relevant than Nas. Nas ain't never been as relevant to me. Jimmy just straight lying and just talking just to hear himself talk. But he knows that people are going to be upset about that type of statement when it comes to Nasir Jones.
Right.
So his boy, Max B, you know, they probably got their heads together. He's fresh out of jail.
Nah, that's not his boy anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. I did hear that they really. But anyway, but he's fresh out of jail. And maybe he's looking at his ex-boy and he's like, damn, what can I say that's going to get motherfuckers upset?
You know what? Deadass, I think Max B really meant that shit, what he said. I think he really felt that way.
Nigga, you can't diss Big Daddy Kane.
But Big Daddy Kane is not relevant anymore, like you just said. When you're not relevant, if you're not in the day's eye and not part of this new ecosystem that is social media and all this bullshit that happens, where you got to be in somebody's face 24/7. When's the last time you even thought about Big Daddy Kane? before Max B even said something.
You can't diss Big Daddy.
Yes. Out of respect, you're not supposed to diss the elders, the niggas that made it possible for you, Max B, to do the dumb shit that you do. So you can't be dissing somebody like that.
I think there's a whole litany of people where you can say, I don't think you can diss, again, Rakim and KRS. And you could critique music and be like, KRS hasn't made a really, really good album in, you know, some 15-odd years. You could say that.
Right.
Because that's a critique, but you can't diss KRS.
Not in that way.
No.
You can't act like this nigga just was one of the wackest niggas ever.
Right. And see, but I'm saying, back to Lupe. See, I believe these statements.
So he's trolling my nigga?
I think he is. Well, because this is the thing. Our boy Diff, he sent.
Shout out to Diff.
Shout out to Diff. Our boy Diff, he sent me a message one day. He was like, what do I think of 8-Ball and MJG? Now, I automatically just look at the division. You know, like the NFC East.
Okay.
Or the AFC West. Right. I'm looking at the division. So I said, they're exceptional. But because I'm looking at his division, I'm looking at 8-Ball and MJG up against No Limit and all these other clown niggas at the time.
Right.
And Diff was like, huh? What? Diff says to me, oh, I look at it as hip-hop as a whole. And then I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't taking them out of their division.
Right. I'm sitting here scrolling right now because Diff, I'm about to call you out, P.
Uh-oh.
You about to catch it, nigga.
Uh-oh.
He's about to catch it.
So when Lupe says hundreds of rappers better than Kendrick Lamar, I'm looking at the division.
Right.
I'm looking at his peers a little bit before him, a little bit after him, and these YNs and these tattooed, lean drinking, you know, inebriated, ignorant nut niggas. Hundreds? There are better MCs than Kendrick? Okay.
I'll give you that. You can say that.
But hundreds?
To act like Kendrick is just like bottom of the barrel and this nigga got lucky?
No, see, I'm looking at the divisions, though. And then, of course, Nas is just I don't know why Nas is a punching bag.
You know why? You know what? I think Nas is a punching bag for the same reason that Jay-Z was, because he doesn't really say much. Niggas get at him and they say what they say and it just lets that shit just roll off. Like, you know what? Fuck it. That nigga tripping. He trolling. He probably like this nigga trolling. I know he trolling. I know Lupe can't really believe that shit. This nigga got to be trolling. So he's probably like, you know what? I ain't even going to respond to that shit. Let him have his moment for whatever. Eventually, the real reason why he's doing it is going to come out. Eventually.
Okay, maybe. But I just, again, and then when you do that, unfortunately, you start the cycle of, because you're not putting forth a qualified argument about the hundreds of rappers, and he doesn't rank highly amongst hip-hop's best. Now, you know, Lupe's criteria had a lot to do with punchlines and a lot of that super rapping, supernatural.
That's battle rap type shit.
Yes.
That's that other shit, B. That's that other level of rapping, that other level of emceeing. That's like getting in the ring with a professional boxer. Yeah, you might be nice when you're in the gym, hitting the punching bag. You might be pretty fast on the speed bag, but nigga, when you get in the ring with a real professional, you're probably gonna get knocked the fuck out. So you're trying to put somebody in the ring with niggas that are on a different level. There's a different levels to this shit, and this is what they do on the battle rap set. They do this shit. So to put him in that level and say he's not respected, maybe he might not be respected amongst battle rappers, if you want to say. Why didn't he say something like that?
Well, because Nas ain't even a battle rapper.
Exactly.
So he's the consummate MC out of the lane. That's why I said the outset about divisions here.
True.
You know, I tend to look at people. Now, of course, everyone has their own personal top three and top five. That's a personal thing. And he wasn't even saying that. From a personal standpoint, he's just blanketing niggas.
And that's where he fucked up.
Yeah.
That's where you fuck up when you do that. Because like you said, this is trolling. When you do shit like that with a blanket statement, it sounds like trolling. Exactly what it sounds like. Especially when you say that about somebody like Kendrick, who's at the top of the fucking food chain right now. So going at that nigga and saying something like hundreds of rappers, like this nigga's just trash and there's no way he would have ever got on if he wasn't from Compton and he hadn't had Dre behind him and all this other shit, that nigga would have been dusted. But that's not true. The nigga Kendrick can hold his own.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so... So, you know, I don't know what to say, man. Shout out to maybe Lupe. I've had problems, personal problems with him in the past that I won't drug up. Long time ago problems, you know, I think had something to do with forgotten lyrics and disrespecting elders.
Oh, legends.
Yeah, before.
Yeah, maybe he likes disrespecting the legends.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a repeated pattern for him, so... You know, but certainly when it comes to these two particular gentlemen, I'm not buying it. I think he's doing Max B. I think that's what I think he's doing. He's trying to find or whatever, a certain guy, a certain this, that, and the third, you know, so.
So, before we get out of here, Diff, I'm coming for you, sir.
Uh-oh.
When you just said Diff sent you a text, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that. About 8-Ball MJG.
Right.
I think this nigga must have been doing a survey, or what do they call them shits in the political shit? Polls.
Oh, yeah.
I think the nigga was doing a poll.
Oh, okay.
Because he sent me the exact same shit.
Oh, shit. Okay.
When you said that, he said, about 8-Ball, he said, I'm doing a, I'm debating about music with my homie. Please answer this. 8-Ball, above average, average, or below average?
That's what he said.
I said, above average, but I like 8-Ball and MJG, so I'm biased. This nigga said, huh? Above? Come on, see? He said, bruh. No way he's on the level of Joel T's and Crooked Eye. So I said, so after he says all that, I said, I don't compare them to East Coast spitters. I compare them to their peers.
In the division.
They are not the same lyrically. So now I'm coming at you because, nigga, you trolling, B. You out here sending blanket... personal text to each person when you could have sent us all that same message in the text chain.
Well, we were on the... Well, he don't fuck with his text chain anyway.
Not the text chain, but I mean in our little group that we got going.
Right, but we answered that the same.
Exactly the same.
Because we are thinking the division that they're in and they're
exactly. 8-Ball MJG is excellence among Southern spitters, my nigga. Once that group that they're in... But East Coast spitters is a different... It's the same thing we were just talking about with Lupe comparing niggas. They are... Maybe they're not the best lyricist on the planet. No. But what they do, nigga, they ain't trash.
You know, there's a thing about the really super, super lyrical niggas. And I remember the argument, oh, he's super lyrical, he's super nice, but he can't write songs. You know, a lot of guys can't really write, like, songs. And that type of thing.
But that's an art, B. To be able to write a song is an art. It's not something you could just do. Well, you used to couldn't just do it. Because I don't understand B. And I don't even want to mention that bullshit song that's just going fucking viral to a ridiculous level, B. I'm not even going to go down that
lane. I think Ygritte wanted to talk about
that. That song? B, that shit, B.
You mean talk about that retail theft, John?
The fucking scamming niggas.
Yeah. So, all right, that's what's up, yo. We're going to keep rolling. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is a little bit of technical talk. Title to label AI-generated music.
Oh.
So, I first seen this at a club site called TrackSource. And they had a joint H for human made and a little star for AI generated music. All the tracks so far that are analyzed got their little thing. And so shout out to TrackSource. They were the first that I seen do it. Tidal jumping on it. But not only are they labeling it, banning royalties from AI song streams. You get no money.
But if you didn't fucking make the beat in any kind of way or nothing, and see, this is where I start to fall on the slippery slope. Because I fucks with AI on a different level as far as vocals. As far as vocals, bringing in a vocal assist for a hook
or something like that. I do that. I'm not even going to lie on that set. But as far as if they got made the whole beat, bass line, every fucking thing, and the only thing you did was just fucking type in some prompts, B, you don't get no fucking credit for that.
All right, B, let me read the copy. The music streaming service Tidal said on Monday that artists uploading music wholly or substantially, maybe a nod to you, created using AI will have them labeled as such, AI. And those songs won't be eligible for royalties. So I don't know what they mean by that. See, that's going to be whimsical. Either wholly, because we know that there are people who are 100% on AI. I watched tons of this AI shit where nigga took a, you know, I did a demo in 1990.
Right.
He loads the whole fucking thing in.
Mm.
And that shit sounds like fucking YN heaven when AI get done with it. But then you got other people who just use the AI to strip bass lines. The whole cut is...
It's them. They just want a bass line.
They just need a bass line or, you know, that but type see, of
that,
shit.
That level, I can fuck with that level. Where you're not... It's just using it as a sampler, basically.
Right.
Instead of using it to make the whole fucking... You're using it as a tool, which is what I would like to see AI as far as producers go. Like using it as a tool and not taking it to use the whole fucking thing. You can use it as a sampler. I just need to use it for a bass line. Or maybe I use it for a hook to help out in a hook. And you putting the words in and it's just, you want a singer. Somebody to sing the part for you or whatever.
I think what ultimately is going to end up happening, that technology companies are going to say, we better get this shit right or we're going to have regulators who don't know nothing about music and come in and fuck the whole thing up. So, if you didn't know, any printer you bought past a certain year has a secret thing that is in all printers.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, people don't do that, but if you were photocopying money and a high-end printer or whatever, and then you trying to pass the bills or whatever, they're going to be able to look at that paper and get the code off your printer. Okay? That's what I think that they're going to end up embedding into the AI.
But I'm surprised they haven't already done that.
Well, they wouldn't do it now because it's the Wild Wild West.
I guess the music industry wants them to do that as far as putting some type of embed in there. A watermark.
A watermark. So
that you know that that's AI.
So when Tidal... Track Source and other people who are getting on board with this run their track through the washer,
they'll be able to say, oh, I hear it.
Oh,
it's gonna be some it's like one high pitch that you can only hear if you run through the washer. It's like, oh, there it is. It's AI. You can't hide that shit because we hear the high pitch. Once we run it through this spectral analyzer, we'll hear it.
Again, like I said, that's what I think is going to end up happening.
But I'm surprised they didn't already do that from the break. But I understand they're trying to make money. They're trying to make niggas out here do what they do, but it's eventually that's going to happen. I believe that'll happen. Eventually, they're going to be like, you know what, we got, once the music industry decides they want to break bread with these niggas.
Yeah. So, similar to how spec runs, that's how I think it is.
Boom. Yeah. That's what you're going to be able to see something. Once you put it in the spec, you're going to see a spike or something. Say, oh, yeah, that's AI. Right,
exactly. So, you know. All right, so, you know, shout to, I guess. Well, definitely shout to Tidal, because I, you know.
B, I'm going to give you credit, B. Niggas is listening. You've been saying this shit from the start. From the beginning of this AI shit, you've been on it. Saying they need to put this shit, put marks so niggas know what's AI and what's not. And shout out to Track Source for doing that. And letting you know this is AI assisted. This is not. This is human. This is not. It's funny you got to do that shit. But... niggas is not going to be honest.
Nah, niggas not going to be honest. I mean, and then to the average listener, and I'm dissing the average listener. The average listener is not going to listen with the critical ear.
And you know what? The average listener just be dead ass. Average listener don't give a fuck.
They don't.
They really don't. They don't care if it's AI or not. As long as they like it, they like it. And that's what to me, that's what the music industry is betting on.
Because they're hoping that it gets to the point where people don't care if it's AI or not. Because guess what? They'll have an AI department where niggas is cranking out fucking a million songs a day.
Yeah, of course.
And they'll be out here eating. All the royalties will be going in their pocket. They don't have to pay them niggas, no artists at all.
Well, but like I said, if now Spotify, if they start saying we're not paying.
P, Spotify is going to have to get on board. No matter how, I know what Tidal's saying, but if the shit switch and niggas do not, in the future, 50 years from now, niggas don't give a fuck whether it's AI or not, and it's 100% AI, and it's the hottest song being played, or the most viral song, and everybody's loving it, nigga, Spotify is going to be having that shit on their set. Tidal's going to have it on there, playing it. Maybe they may not get no royalties for it, but the record company's going to eat off of it no matter what.
B, I don't know about that, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the biggest thing about AI is AI learns from every piece of previously recorded human-made music.
Of course.
So I think that people in a particular style, in a particular way it's done or whatever, somebody be like, nah, you learned off my shit.
B.
Or that shit sound too much like SOS band and shit or whatever.
B, you're right, my nigga. But see, there's the problem with all of that, son, is you're right. You're 1,000% right. But the problem with that shit is that they're going to take it back to the beginning. Everybody's shit is copied off of somebody. Unless you're the first nigga to play the drums. First nigga to sing. The first nigga to play a bass. You know what I'm saying? The first person to get on a piano and play keys, somebody's copied from some damn body.
So to end this topic, really what it comes down to is you're going to have AI creators, like you said, cranking out millions of songs. You're going to maybe have streaming people at the very least want to identify what's human made and what's AI. Tidal playing hardball saying you ain't getting paid.
Tidal, you know what Tidal's doing to me? This is Tidal throwing some bait in the water. They're throwing chum in the water right now, B. What they're hoping is some artists, because AI, the Tidal's at the bottom of the pile when it comes to the streaming services.
Yeah, that's true.
And to see something like this and to have niggas, like say they did this shit and somebody like Mrs. Kelsey decides that she is going to fucking ride with Tidal because fuck that AI shit.
Ooh.
That moves the needle for them niggas big time. That moves the needle for them niggas.
Because Miss Kelsey is the music industry.
Exactly. And so them niggas is throwing chum in the water, hoping that anybody that hates AI, you know what I'm saying? This is them niggas doing their speech like your boy. You hate AI? Come on over to Tidal.
Yo, yeah, it could be. It could be. So anyway, that's an interesting tech to watch, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, the future of music and definitely what we consume and how we consume it, no doubt. All right, we're going to keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Sean Carter.
Ooh, I thought you was about to say Combs. You said
<Nah. laughs>
the other SC.
Not the other SC, Sean Carter. Jay-Z. Jay-Z is out celebrating heavily the 30th anniversary of Reasonable Doubt. JC was telling me he got a whole train in New York running with the whole thing blacked out.
Wow.
You know, Reasonable Doubt. Got pop-up stores probably selling $500 jackets in that bitch. And
$500? That's low ball.
Whatever. $80, $100 t-shirts, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure he's making money. And the most controversial thing, or at least amongst a lot of African-American think tank people, was his association with Target. Here we are, Target off the anti-DEI, and here we are supposed to be boycotting, and here comes Hov. Shit is gold and shimmery. Target like, yes, sir. We want a partner.
Yeah, of course.
And as they continue to just stuff money in Hov's pocket, I'm sure of that, because they want to get some type of African-American, you know. Get back in the store. Go buy a Reasonable Doubt. Whatever. So Jay's taking a lot of incoming fire.
And are they wrong for firing at him?
You know, it's one of the rare times I'm going to be counsel for Hov. Because I do believe that he is unfairly, you know, because of who he is and because who he's married to, I think he's kind of unfairly targeted a little. Now, Jay, he's the 1%.
Okay, of course.
You know what I mean?
That nigga's a billionaire. Yeah. He's definitely 1%.
Yeah, he's the 1%, you know. I'm questioning documentaries about him getting his hair taken out more than a lot of other shit. I mean, it's like, come on, bruh. Fucking cut that mop and just put the Yankee fitted back on. But that's another story. I'll never watch that shit. You can best believe it. And I don't care what kind of hair care products you and wifey hawking behind that comb, hot comb shit.
Not cut the mop, my nigga.
Trying to tell you, son. Fuck out of here. Now, I'll get on hold about that. But what I will say, and it is another poor analogy. In the movie Shaft, there's a part where Shaft, Ben Buford, and the pimp, Bumpy Jonas, are in a meeting. And Bumpy Jonas set something foul up and had a couple of the black radical person killed. But anyway, the pimp says to the black radical, you know, we all on the hustle. I sell broad dope in numbers. And you sell crap and blue skies. And see, that's how I feel about Hove.
Ooh, which Hove, one is he?
No.
Which one is he selling?
Well, Hove is on the hustle, okay? I don't think he's selling broad dope and numbers.
Not no more.
But Hove is on the hustle. Now, the anti-Hove and the anti-Jay-Z, fuck Jay-Z off that Target shit. These are the people who are going to be dancing to some of that Canadian shit. These are the people who are going to be, you know, free coons. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, it is high time for us to stop using rappers and celebrities as a replacement for, you know, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. They were ordained by God. They were different people. Mega Evers type. Hove ain't never going to be that.
Never.
Now, I do think Hove be putting out a lot of fires and spending a lot of money that he'll never say that he does. I maintain that.
He does. He does do a lot of work in the background. He does help out a lot of people.
Right.
He does do that. But two things can be true at the same time, sir. You could do that and be that a good person and also have a little devil on your shoulder at the same time.
No doubt.
So I'm looking at this like, I give him credit for the stuff that he does to help people that he don't have to do. That is commendable. I applaud you for that, sir. But when you do this type of deals, I look at you as padding your pockets, one, and also look at you like side eye, because I'm like, all this is happening because your boy got kicked out to the side. Because Dame is not eating not one bit off of this. He owned that Reasonable Doubt. He would not be doing none of this shit if Dame still owned Reasonable Doubt.
Well, I'm sure he's celebrating because of that. And too,
and I think he owns it. I think he probably had somebody buy that shit for him. Whoever bought that in the auction, they bought it for him. Or he knows exactly who got it.
Yeah, according to what I was researching, the full Reasonable Doubt transfers of Jay in 2031. It was stripped from Dame because he has $25 million in various liabilities.
Right.
Child support, taxes, real estate, all kinds of shit. Oh, lawsuits. He's 25 mil.
I thought that was wrong, too. Even if, to me, when it comes to shit like this, if you own something, right, and it's yours, this is my point. If you own something and it's yours out, lock, stock, and barrel, outright is yours, then nobody should be able to make you sell it. If you want to die owning some shit worth $1 billion, and it, because it's principal, and you want to die broke, but you got $1 billion, something that you own, and you won't sell it, and you don't want to sell it, then fucking die broke, nigga.
But that's not the law.
That's not the law. That's fucked up. It's fucked up because it's same thing that you can never own a fucking house in this country. Because you might buy that house, but you'll never own the land that that house sits on. So, if you miss one tax payment, two tax payments, they'll take it from you.
I'm not saying that the law is fair, but I'm saying that that's the law. He has $25 million in liability, and not just tax, lawsuits, banks who he borrowed money from and didn't pay back. I mean, B, the list of people he owe and what he owed
is... He fucked himself up. He did. He did.
So, I'm not... Look, if they stripped a reasonable doubt from him, just like they stripped his properties and the brownstones.
That's crazy.
They got that motherfucker butt-ass naked out there.
He is butt-ass naked, and he knows he's naked, but he's trying to put on as good a face as he can. And at this point, that nigga is halfway drowning.
But anyway, Hov is celebrating. You know, he's making money. He's selling merch. You know what I mean?
And he's eating good off of this. Like I said, he would never put this and do this celebration if Dame still owned that shit. First, because Dame would want too much money for him to do it. And he wouldn't fucking do it just out of spite.
Well, that's over.
That's over with now. He's celebrating. And for me, that's probably his best album he's ever done, because it was so organic to me.
With the time, and again, I don't own a whole bunch of Hov, but I did, you know, by the picture I put up on the text chain, in that era of Hov, Reasonable Doubt, Can't Knock the Hustle, Dead Presidents,
That was pure hip hop and so right. organic to me.
Yes.
Because the way they built that.
Right. So, again, I reiterate, I don't think Hov deserves... Well, let me say this. He does, because he should have been... You know, Target, at this point in time, man, he could have went to Walmart and got a probably the same deal.
He could have. He could have went to any number of outlets.
Yeah, he could have went to any number of outlets and got the same deal.
But Target already had things in place. Because Miss Kelsey and all the rest of them, K-pop niggas, everybody's got albums in Target. He's not the only one that's got an album in there.
Let me tell you something. When you go into Target, the last time I was in Target, there was some albums in there. A couple other motherfuckers was at the bottom shelf. Miss Kelsey and BTS. And then now you're going to add Hov. They taking up the first three racks.
Right. So he's not the first and only one in there.
No.
He's not. But I understand why niggas is coming at Hov. And I don't think that he doesn't deserve it. Because if you're going to be out here and be the voice, even if you don't want to be, but if you're going to be the voice, considered to be one of the voices and to be hip-hop royalty or even black royalty, they're like the fucking king and queen of us out here, the way they put Beyonce and Jay-Z, Beyonce more than Jay. But still, they're royalty. And if you're black royalty, nigga, you cannot be fucking with Target. And the money that Target's giving you can't be worth taking the black eye.
Yeah.
That's where I say he deserves it. Because, nigga, it's not like you broke and you're looking for a deal to get you on.
That's true. Yeah.
Nigga, you're a billionaire. Right. This money you would have got from you getting from Target is not going to make or break your bottom line, my nigga.
Right. And I have to say, I don't understand why he did it. I mean, I guess I'm understanding why he did it, because he is the 1%. And that motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
There's never enough money when you're the 1%.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Fucking Jeff Bezos and them niggas and Elon and them niggas.
Elon a fucking trillionaire, my nigga. Didn't I tell you, son? Once they let that nigga peek behind the curtain, he was going to be a gazillionaire, my nigga.
Well, you did call it, but the point is, his nature is, you know what I mean? That motherfucker, if he was on the street, he wouldn't give a bum a dollar.
He still wouldn't.
Yeah, he still wouldn't.
He wouldn't piss on a nigga if he was on fire.
Right, yeah. That's the nature, so... But you're right, you did call it. So shout to you. You did call it. So next situation we got, we're going to get into the rest in peace. And a couple of very notable folks, or maybe it depends if you know about these people or not. I don't know. First, rest in peace to Tony Brown. William Anthony Brown.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He hails from Charleston, West Virginia. For those of you who don't know Tony Brown, he had a public television, I think it was even more than public television, called Tony Brown's Journal.
Yep, I remember that.
In 1977, Brown launched Tony Brown's Journal, a national syndicated public affairs television
series that succeeded Black Journal. The program remained on the air for more than three decades, making it the longest running nationally syndicated Black public affairs television. Basically, Tony Brown was an egghead. He was talking politics and policy during his day. Serious egghead, lean conservative. Well, I think he started out as a Democrat, but he leaned conservative. Think back in the 90s, he switched to the Republican Party, but neither here nor there. You know, when all shows, McNeil Lair and, you know, like the PBS NewsHour and all this shit, they was all white. Right. Tony Brown was the only brother up there.
The only one.
The only brother up there. And I remember, because I was always a political egghead, I remember well listening to a lot of Tony Brown's Journal and watching the program. I mean, you just want to say rest in peace to him. I'm going to say Black excellence. I don't know why he switched up, you know, made it a Republican Party. I know he probably didn't, you know, he was an elderly gentleman, so he probably didn't know what's up with Trump and shit. But, you know, but shout to him and shout to Tony Brown's Journal. Shit, incredible.
Mm.
All right. And next, rest in peace, is to Sparky D. Wow. Doreen C. Broadnax. Brooklyn, New York, stand up. Where Brooklyn at?
Where Brooklyn at?
Sparky D. So, if you don't know anything about Sparky D, in the mid-80s, at the beginning of the Roxanne Wars,
ooh,
you have Roxanne Shanté just coming out and just dissing the absolute daylights out of UTFO, you know. Right.
The real Roxanne.
I mean, KRS, one of them niggas.
Everybody got rolled up on it.
Shanté was just rolling up on niggas during the Roxanne Wars. Well, Sparky D had an answer to that. Sparky's turn, Roxanne, You're Through on NIA Records. I didn't know that was produced by Spider D. I never knew that. The single sold more than 300,000 copies in its day and then later becoming gold. And then she had a couple of different records. The original, which I never had to cover artwork, was Shanté on one side and Sparky D on the other.
Okay.
As they battled. And then same with the Playgirls, Sparky D versus the Playgirls. And, you know, and then, you know, a couple of records here and there. But unfortunately, you know, she unfortunately had a serious drug addiction problem and was a victim of domestic abuse, and it was involved in prostitution, you know, sometime after the height of her career. She had a very, very tough life, but we honor her. I mean, I took a picture of a couple of Sparky D 12 inches that I got, you know, and just when a female MC pre-bra and panty,
right,
could just get out there and MC.
That's what it was all about.
Ugh.
It was just MCing. It wasn't about all that other shit.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. It was just about MCing. And because a lot of the listeners, maybe on the text chain, maybe some, maybe not, can't go back to the 80s.
Right, because it's before their time.
It's before their time. But when I'm telling you the Sparky's turn, Roxanne, You're Through, and the Playgirls and everything, yo, those are major records. And they got played alongside the Houdinis and the Run DMCs on right. the regular.
Exactly.
On the regular. So, you know, Sparky D, rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? We're going to play them joints when we get off the show. You know what I mean? Thank you for, and Tony Brown, Sparky D, thank you for what you've given us, because that's a lot.
A lot.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. I wanted to get it in, but I didn't get any details or whatever. Shout to T-Bear, because I know you up on it. But, you know, DJing gear is just boring. So Alpha Theta, which is
buying everything,
is, well, no, Alpha Theta bought Pioneer, and that's all they had to buy, because Alpha Theta is the equivalent of Apple for DJ gear.
Wow.
Yeah, Alpha Theta got a new player out or whatever. I don't know the name of the player. I know it has a smaller jog wheel. It has a gigantic screen and shit. Motherfuckers is in the comments saying, why don't you just buy a fucking iPad? You know what I mean? This is ridiculous.
you know. And then, of course, you know, Alpha Theta all closed in or whatever. And this shit was still like 1500, 1700.
Damn.
You know, they still, as soon as you walk in the store, the salesman got his hands around your throat. Give me that wallet.
So what's in your wallet?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I mean, look, if you're super paid like that, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, damn, you know, have at it.
$1,500 is like $5 to you. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Have at it. Cat like me, I'm still looking for a moving platter, Joan, but old. See, I like old tech.
That old tech. The more you go digital,
the more you wish you went analog.
You better believe it, B.
So that's what's up. I should have done a better job pregame loading that up or whatever. And then shout to Igri. I want to give a shout to Igri because I know he had a couple of issues with modern day recordings, a couple of songs. But I want to wait till Swerve comes back to the show to talk about that. And just generally, African-American cultural issues that are at hand. I guess the YN situation seems to be getting a little out of control.
B, it's passed out of control, B. It's passed out of control. And it's sad, my nigga. It really is. To see that we are just going down this road and we're pushing ourselves down this road. And it's sad, B. It's sad. I don't want to get too deep in it. Like, say, wait till Igri gets back. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
Right. No doubt. So anyway, shout to, like I said, shout to T-Bear, shout to Diff, you know what I mean? Shout to everybody on a text chain as we, you know, we get in and out. We're, again, like I said, situation around here as far as the show, it's a little chaotic still. We're going to try and get in. Actually, we would have been in 3, but again, technical difficulties.
Yeah, sir. Yeah.
Curtis forgot to bring the
computer. Go ahead and throw me under the bus. I'll take it, B. I got thrown under the bus. I deserve it because I left out of my house. What happened? Let me go ahead. What happened was we went out over to my sister-in-law's house.
So, first of all, who was cooking it? I bet the food was good.
Nigga, was the food good, my nigga?
And I was kind of, you know, I wonder if a nigga would bring me a plate.
Yeah, I wish you had said something.
I know, right?
You should have said something. I definitely would have brought you a damn plate. I wasn't even thinking about that shit. But yeah, well, I left from over there. We was out in Waldorf. If you're in Maryland, you know where the fuck that's at. And it took us about a good 45 minutes to get out there. Traffic was pretty good, I have to say. Traffic was pretty good going out there. Coming back a little thick, but it was good getting back. And then I went, dropped wifey off at the house, and then went in the crib and came back out and didn't think about the damn computer. I ain't been in this damn thing in so long. I forgot all about the fucking computer. So, my bad.
So,
say all that to say, I don't have any albums of the week either.
Okay, so we're lean this week.
Yeah, we're really lean. I have to apologize to the freaks.
Digital freaks. But anyway, yes, shout out to the digital freaks. Matt is still on the text chain posting a lot of new heat.
That nigga stay posting.
Yeah, no doubt. Pete, whenever you get your technical issues taken care of, my brother, reach out. Let us know you're doing good and whatnot. So, you know, so that's it. You know, short hip-hop digest, but to the point. And just to let you know, we still in it.
We still out here doing this thing.
Yeah. Man, you fucking kidding me?
This is what we do. We ain't doing it for money.
That's for damn sure. So, all right. So, shout to everybody out there. Thank you for rolling with us. We'll see you hopefully next time on a 3-man show. Good night. Thank you.
One.